Thank you to Carissa and her crew, and Patrick on the keys back there. The Rempies are visiting Brady this morning up in Ames, and so we miss them. And we are, as you've hopefully figured out by now, in this season of stewardship, and we are delighted today to be reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and this will be from chapter 6, verses 24 to 34, and if you would like to read along with me in the Pew Bible, this is on page 787 in your Bible. Listen for God's word for us this day. No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all of these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we are so privileged to be here together. We thank you for the freedoms that we have to come and to assemble and to worship in your name. We thank you, O God, for the love that is in this room that has been here for over 100 years, not here literally as we moved here in the 50s, O God, for you have continued to provide for us through decades. We thank you for the words from Claire and Brady. We thank you for the faithfulness of parents and grandparents, friends and neighbors who have continued to invite others to come and to experience your love here at Westminster. May we today deepen our commitment to following your command to us not to worry, to serve you only. Help us, O God, to have that courage and that strength. We pray this in the name of the one who saves us, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So many of you, I know, read the headlines or perhaps look at them on your phone. You're still reading them. And one of the headlines this week that especially stood out to me, not so much because this particular NFL player happens to play for my favorite team back in Philadelphia, but what stood out to me about Chris Long's decision to give away his salary in 2017 was this generosity that seemed to overwhelm him as he looked back on his life, not just his 10 years that he's been able to play football in the NFL, but the ways in which his parents, his community, his church taught him about generosity and taught him about the importance of education at each and every turn. The other part of Chris Long's story is that his hometown is Charlottesville, Virginia. And what struck him was the devastation and what happened in that city back in August when Heather Heyer, at age 32, lost her life as hatred came to the city that day. And Chris felt strongly, feels that the only way that we can overcome the kind of hatred and divide in this country is to provide an education for people who desperately need to know that they are loved and cared for. It's important to note in Chris's life that this wasn't a decision that he just made overnight, but it was instead a decision that came with a lot of reflection and prayer. His decision to give this money away. Now, I know those of you that know what football players make and their salaries might be thinking, well, you know, Pastor, he makes a lot of money, so maybe this isn't such a sacrifice for him. But I want you to think, as Dan pointed out in this children's sermon today, maybe it's not the kind of sacrifice that it would be for you and I, but it definitely is a sacrifice for that money he could be using for other things. And more importantly, it's a lesson to all of us. He's picking up where Jesus has told us that we must stop and think and prayerfully reflect on what do we have? What have we been given in this lifetime to give to the kingdom's work? Here in this church and obviously beyond the doors. This whole idea of continuing to ponder what or who is it that we truly serve? Is it God? Or is it wealth, money, whatever word, mammon we want to put on it? Where are we truly devoted in this life? Jesus is asking us, who is your real master? Not just in stewardship season, not just at Christmas or Easter, not just when there's a crisis in our life, but each and every day of our journey. Whom do we serve? One of the best quotes as we think about these choices that we make in our life comes from one of my favorites, Frederick Buechner, when he says, "The world says the more you make, the more you have. Christ says the more you give, the more you are." Think about that. The more you give, the more you are. Now, Buechner nor I mean, whoa, look at you go, you give a lot and you're awesome and great. It's not this ladder that we climb. It's more that sense of peace. It's more that sense of obedience that comes over us when we know we are being obedient and true to the gospel of Christ. That tells us not to hold on to what we have, but instead to let it go, to give it away that others would know this kind of love. To have this purpose in our life, to ask this question, what could we live without? Think about the generations that have gone before us at Westminster. What have those families sacrificed so that we would have this beautiful place to come and worship, so that we would be able to tithe our mission giving, so that we could have a youth program and a children's program, so that we could have a staff to lead and to inspire and to teach and to encourage. That kind of sacrifice, that kind of love is what has to continue for God's kingdom to continue to grow here. We truly know that money, it divides so many families. Think about marriages torn apart over debt, over indecision about how money should be spent. think about families who go to the lawyer's office when the will is read and never speak to each other again. Ask an attorney, ask pastors who sit with families at the funeral home, and think about how money divides us. That is not in any way what God intended for these gifts to be used. Not to divide, but to build up the kingdom. It's hard, right? Because at a very early age, we start to feel like life isn't fair. Why does that child, my friend, get so many Christmas presents, and I just get three? Believe me, I've heard it. It starts young and it continues. Why does that person live in that big house? Why do they drive that car? Why do they go on all those vacations? It's not fair. And guess what? It's not fair. It's not fair that movie actors and actresses make so much money, and teachers and laborers who go to work every day, they don't make that kind of money. And so we get caught in that wheel. And so then we start to operate in this feeling of scarcity. Like, I don't have enough. I've got to hold on to it. I've got to provide, right, for future generations. I've got to make sure that I have enough money in the bank. And we start to add it up and to calculate. That's not what Jesus intended. That's not how Jesus wants us to live. What is the commandment that's given to us in this passage? Do not worry. Do not worry. The experts say it's probably the commandment that's broken the most, because at any given moment, we're worrying about our jobs, our kids, our grandchildren, our neighbor. The list goes on and on. And it comes back to this question of where does our devotion rest? Jesus wants us to ponder that question. Preacher David Loos writes, you know what happens to us is we fall prey to the worldview that crowns money Lord in the first place. That's what fills our minds. I have the privilege of meeting with young couples as they plan for their weddings. And when we start to talk about money, it's not as much fun. Because again, this culture of having to have so much right as we start out, it starts to creep in to the division even before the couple is married. Because Loos writes that we believe that money can satisfy our deepest needs, and then we suddenly discover that we never have enough. Money, after all, is finite. And so once we decide that money will grant us our security, then we're ushered immediately into a world of counting and tracking and stockpiling. No wonder we worry so much, because in a world of scarcity, there is simply never enough. So the alternative that Jesus invites us to consider is this whole idea of a relationship with a God who loves us and provides for us at every turn, that will operate from a different economy than how the world operates. Think about when we have perhaps that second child. We don't stop loving the first child because the second child comes into our life. God gives us an abundance of love. And that is what this kingdom is about, is that we operate out of an abundance rather than that sense of scarcity and not having enough. Jesus calls it kingdom living. Seek ye first. Put your heart in that place. So in the church, we especially, in this stewardship season, we're asked also to stop and to look around at this all of God's kingdom around us. Because those that have gone before us and because we continue to sacrifice and give God's kingdom, it's in the here and the now. Look around us. I can give you some examples that have just happened this fall in 2017. 300 junior high students that were just here on Friday night, dancing and laughing and eating and having a time in which they know that they're loved and cared for. Children and adults who lined up in a conga line, feeling silly and dancing around the Shared Life Center because they had just packed food for children around the world. That kind of love, that doesn't just happen anywhere. It happens in a church where God's kingdom is followed. An elementary student who's here at the Promise Academy, looking up at our youth director, Scott Coase, who happened just to be walking through the hall, and thanking him for her scholarship so that she could learn how to play the piano. A sixth grader exclaiming on the high ropes course at Great Oaks Camp, "This is the best day of my life," after overcoming his fear of going up high. An elderly man in our community who looked me in the eye and said to me, "This is the best hot meal I've had in months," as he was served at Sunday supper. So excited over baked chicken. That's the kingdom happening all around us. And it happens because we don't always get to do what perhaps we think we have to do. Because we stop and consider, what's greater than us? What's bigger than us that I could go without? And modeling that to our children. I could go on and on about examples around us. But I want us to think about, how does this continue? How do we continue to widen this kingdom of God? How will we put first things first, as Christ commands us to do? The bottom line, it's about love. Who do we love more? God gave his son on that cross and brought him back through the resurrection to life? Or do we love our status, our stuff? Do we love that more? Do we understand that when we start to feel like we don't have enough, that the commandment of God says trust, and experiencing the joy of giving and sacrificing so others can be cared for and educated and fed and encouraged and loved? This isn't a day about feeling sad or guilty, because maybe we've been serving this God of wealth rather than a God of love. C.S. Lewis writes, "You can't go back and change the beginning, but you could start where you are and change the ending." I asked us 2 weeks ago, what legacy will we leave? What will our friends, our children, our grandchildren, our pastors remember about us? Can we put God first and commit to giving generously? Commit to a 2018 in which more children and youth and adults will come to know Christ and this abundant life, that they are indeed the beloved children of God. Can we as a community focus on ministry inside and outside of these doors and not worry about budgets? But can we trust and celebrate the God who's called us to this time and this season? Can we put first things first? It takes effort, friends. It takes courage. It takes teaching our children. It takes God's strength and love. I pray that we as a congregation would have that courage to not just stay where we are, but to continue in wider and even more effective ways to bring God's kingdom here and now. Let us pray together. Lord, we know that this is not easy for us. It's not easy to let go and give. But God, we also know that time and time again, we hear of what an amazing life it is when we can live in this generous spirit. We thank you for the abundance that we already have around us, for the growth happening literally outside of these windows as we push out to be even more of a hospitable and growing place. So God, help us, give us the strength and the love to live out this life for you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus.